If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. I'm just going to read two or three verses and then talk to you for a few moments about the value of encouragement. The value of encouragement. Before we go any further, let's just ask the Lord to help us tonight in this meditation. Father, help us to accept all things, knowing that you're always in control. And Lord, in moments like this, Lord, you can accomplish what your ultimate purpose is. Lord, give us tonight the grace to listen and give me the grace to speak, Lord, and in a way that pleases you and edifies your people. I ask you, Lord, to give us insights into your word and clarity of thought. In Christ's name, amen. The value of encouragement. You know, I don't think any of us would deny the reality that we need to be encouraged sometimes. Satan is the master discourager, and we all need to be encouraged at times. You know, one of the things about coming to church on a regular basis, in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then he adds this, he says, so that you can exhort one another, encourage one another, because these are difficult days. Most of us have people in our life that encourage us from time to time. They're usually a very small number, and that is a sad thing, that we don't have more encouragers than we do. But thank God for those that do encourage us. You know, I have for a long time, when I have to meet with someone, or whether it's a counseling session or just spend a little time with them, I often say a little prayer. I want them to be more encouraged when they leave than when they came, you know. Whatever I'm doing, if I'm just hanging out with them or having lunch or if it's a counseling session, I want to be an encourager. I really do. And because I know that people need to be encouraged. The Apostle Paul writes his last letter. He'll be executed, scholars say, perhaps within a year's time of 2 Timothy. He's in prison and he's waiting for his execution. The Roman Emperor Nero will administer it. It says, most believe, that he was beheaded. He calls this moment the time of his departure. He says that he's fought a good fight, he's kept the faith, and he's ready to depart. He's ready to leave. This is the last epistle that he'll write. And he reflects on the encouragement that a man gave him, or often gave him. We would have never heard of him if Paul hadn't mentioned him in this letter. But Paul knew him well, and before he left, he wanted Timothy to know about him. So this man has great value because he is a great encourager. It's found in chapter 1 and verses 16 through 18. In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom Phygellus and Hermogenes, The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. There are three things I want you to notice about him, this man, Onesiphorus. His name means benefit or bringing profit or profit bearing. It's interesting to me. I wonder how his mom and dad came up with the name Onesiphorus. How did they know that he would be someone who brought profit, someone who helped people in their struggle along life's way? I wondered about that. You know, in Bible days, they often named people that names that was befitting to their character. I wonder if maybe he had a name at birth, but yet as his personality developed, perhaps they hung that name onto him. But Onesiphorus means, as I said, prophet-bearing, one who brings profit, who brings help. So he has a unique spirit. Paul says he oft refreshed me. Now, I call that a unique spirit because let me ask you, how many people in your life would you label as an encourager? How many people do you know that upon meeting them or being with them, they just have that grace about them that encourages you personally? You know, our world is becoming so extremely narcissistic, so self-absorbed, so many obviously calling attention to their own problems that encouragers are less and less notable. But this man, Paul, remembers him before he dies, and he wants Timothy to know about him. He said, he oft refreshed me. He has a unique spirit. In verse 16, that first phrase, did you notice? He says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. He said, I want the Lord to be merciful unto him. You know, Paul was not, he didn't mind calling the names of people that were a blessing or people that were a problem. You know, he said about Demas, he's forsaken me. He said about Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil, and the Lord will reward him according to his word. He mentions two men here before he mentions that, Phygellus and Hermogenes, and these men were not a blessing. But then it reflects on Onesiphorus. He said, now there's somebody that's profitable. He is an encourager. So what's so special about him? Two or three things. Notice, he had a special gift from the Lord. I believe that the ability to encourage other people is a unique gift. I mean that. You know, Barnabas had such a gift. They called him the son of consolation. And he was a great encourager. And he had this. He says, so in Romans 12, he says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Think about that just a moment. We've all quoted that verse, and we have a lot of familiarity with it. But just stop for a moment and think. We are all members one of another. We have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, that's the thing about God's gifts. He gives the grace to minister the gift. Darnell said to me tonight, she said, she asked about, you know, Ryder, was he coming? And she told me what they had planned for the kids. When I came here many years ago, Darnell was planning things for the kids. And she was working hands-on, loving on them, helping to raise them spiritually. I remember one time we had a class, and I may have told this, forgive my repetition if I have, but I said to Darnell, I said, I'd like for you to take a break from your children's class and sit in on the adult class because I want everyone to be a part of the class. And so she said, okay, I'll do that. Well, two or three weeks later, she called me. She said, Brother Frank, I promise I'll listen. I'll get the tapes, I'll do whatever, but please, please let me go back to my kids. And I said, certainly. She had a gift, and all these years she's faithfully served there because she had the grace to minister her gift. That's the thing about it. You know, God gives you a gift, and then he gives you grace to minister that gift. So in that ministry, does it become a burden? This man had a gift from the Lord. And you know what that gift was? To exhort, to encourage. What a great gift. Romans 12 continues this way. He says, we all have a special gift. We all, it's been, he says, it could be ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. Some people have an obvious teaching gift. But he said, there are those that have a gift to exhort. The word exhort means to call one aside, to console, to encourage, to strengthen by consolation or comfort. He said, there are those in the body of Christ, we're all members one of another, and there are those who have the special, unique gift to call you aside and give you a word of encouragement. And such was the case with Onesiphorus. I read this quote sometime back. It said, no problem is ever as dark as when you have a friend to face it with you. I like that. No problem is ever as dark as when you have a friend to face it with you. Have you ever stopped to think about the gift of encouragement? Do you have that ability to encourage people? Some of you do. Do you take the time to use that gift? It's a very important gift. And so he has this special gift from the Lord. Now, the thing about Onesiphorus, he not only had the gift, he used it often. Did you notice that? The word says that he oft refreshed me. Now, that's a blessing. Not just someone who has a gift, but someone who actually uses the gift. The word refreshed is interesting. It actually it comes from a word that means to relieve or to cool off. He would relieve me. Can you imagine the stress that Paul was under from time to time? Even before he mentions Onesiphorus, he says, everybody's turned away from me. I can't imagine the loneliness that Paul must have felt at times. But then there were those that God put in his path. And Onesiphorus was one of them. He was a prophet-bearing man. And he used his gift, and he used it often. I just love that. So he has a unique spirit. He's an encourager, and he gets involved. The second thing I want you to notice about him is his unconditional support. He didn't just encourage Paul when it was convenient. He encouraged Paul regardless of the situation that Paul was in. Do you see that phrase there? He was not ashamed of my chain. He was not ashamed of my chain. Notice verse 16 again. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. And he mentions again, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. Why do they turn away from him? They turned away from him because he was arrested. He was put in prison. As I said, I began my week studying in the book of Philippians, and Paul tells them in chapter 1 of of Philippians, he's a man. It's amazing to me. If you get a chance this week, read in there. Paul is practicing what he preaches. His preaching has got him in prison. And Paul just keeps thanking God. He says, I thank God for this. He tells the church, he said, I thank God for you. He said, you know about my chain, but you still pray for me. You still support me. He said, do you know that some people are getting more bold to preach the word of God because of my chain? He said, there are some people that come around and they laugh at my chain. And they try to tell me that you don't have to. We preach, and we're not in prison. You're taking things to the extreme, and so they avoided him. He was a radical. He was a fanatic, and no preacher has to be in chains. He's just taking things too far. Paul preached what he preached because he preached what God told him to preach, and he was in chains. But this man was not ashamed of his chain. Do you have a friend that has a chain? Now, Paul, of course, he was in chain because of his devoted life. But a chain can represent limitations. It can represent something that you might not fully understand. It could represent something that some people may frown at. But are you a true friend, a friend enough to, when you have a friend, you're not afraid of their chain? First time I ever saw this in action, many years ago, I was a young preacher in my 20s. And we were down in Louisiana. And after a Bible conference, there were seven or eight of us that gathered at, I think it was a Denny's or something like that, you know, where they had the big round booths, you know, and all that could pile in there. I guess there was six or seven of us. I don't know. But we were all squished into this one round booth. And you'd like to think that when preachers get together, they're talking theology or whatever, but sometimes preachers can be quite the gossips. And somehow or another, the conversation went towards someone that I had never heard of. I was one of the youngest people in the group, so I was just kind of sitting on the edge and not saying much, just listening. But they were talking about a particular man, and I don't remember his name. And the conversation kind of circled around, and yeah, that he had compromised or he'd done whatever it was he had done. And the first time I'd ever met Tom Hayes away from the pulpit. And I had heard him preach, but he and I had never spent any time together. And so this conversation went on for just a little while, and finally Tom, who was much younger than most of the preachers were in those days, he said, "I don't believe this. I don't believe it. That man is my friend. I love him. He's my friend. I don't believe this." You could have heard a pin drop. Conversation changed. "Here is a man," Paul said. He wasn't ashamed of my chain. People out in the street, Phygellus and Hermogenes, they're giving me a hard time about my chain. Paul said in Philippians, he said, some come by and gall me with their chain. They mock me. He said, those people are preaching Christ out of pretense. They're not preaching him for the right reason. He said, but I'm just rejoicing that Christ is preached. But as he reflects on his dying bed, so to speak, he remembers this man whose unconditional support, he was not ashamed of his chain. True love is unconditional. If you really love someone, somebody said a friend is someone who walks in when everyone else has walked out. I say amen. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted." I'm glad when I've needed a friend, Jesus was there. What a friend we have in him. And so he has this man who is profitable to him. Nobody's ever heard of him. He's only mentioned twice in Scripture. But he brought Paul refreshment. He cooled him off when he needed it. True love is unchanging. People are fickle. One day they love you today, the next day they don't. I have this saying all the time, you know, I tell Cindy, I said, you know, we're just good as our last deed. And sadly, it's true in some cases. But he has a unique spirit. He has unconditional support. And that's what an encourager is. Somebody that loves you enough that they're not ashamed of your chain. And then third and finally, this man Onesiphorus, he's profitable to Paul because he supports him, he loves him, but he has this untiring effort to find him when he hears that he's in prison. "He sought me out very diligently." Notice 2 Timothy 4:17. He said when he was in Rome, and that's where Paul is now, he's in Rome, in prison. He said, "But you know, Onesiphorus, he found me. He sought me out very diligently." This is not someone who just happened upon Paul. He got to thinking, where is he at? Someone says, "I don't know, last I heard he was ministering in Rome." He said, "Well, I haven't heard much from him lately. Is he okay? I know his health is not good. I know he's had some persecution. Where is he?" And then he gets word that He's in prison, and this is a terrible prison. So Onesiphorus, he makes the trip. I don't know where he was, but he found him. He went to different prisons. One writer says to seek him diligently meant that he just searched everywhere for him until he found him. That was dangerous enough to be identified with this man who was now in prison for preaching, and he keeps looking for him. I wonder how Paul felt when Onesiphorus showed up outside of his cell and said, "Hey, Paul, I've been praying for you. How are you?" He talked to him. "He sought me out very diligently and he found me." He makes a great effort. Let me ask you something. Do you know people that are discouraged? For whatever reason, maybe they're out of church. Maybe for some reason they have had problems, and perhaps they've even had failures. And they have a stigma on their life, something like a chain. You ever thought about seeking them out? Trying to find them? Praying for them? Showing them that you care? That you love them? He said, "This man, Timothy, you need to know before I leave here, this man, Onesiphorus, he is a wonderful encourager. And he never stopped doing it right until the very end." Why don't you make a list of the people you know that need to be encouraged? When's the last time you said to your Sunday school teacher, you called your Sunday school teacher aside and you said to your Sunday school teacher, "I thank God for you"? I've had people in this church tell me that, and I want to say, well, tell your teacher that. It means a lot to them. Because I'm going to tell you, these teachers are volunteers, and they get encouraged when you come to class, and it's discouraging when you don't. Find them. Encourage them. There are people that have gone home to be with the Lord that I've known that have been a part of this church, and they were great encouragers to me. I miss them. I love them. I thank God for them. But they're gone now. You know, Miss Amoson, we recently buried her. She was the oldest member of our church. Many of you didn't know her because she's been sick for quite a while. She called me often. "I prayed for you today." She said, "I can't see and I can't hardly hear. But I want you to know something. Every single day I sit in my chair and I send up prayers to God for you." She said, "I can pray." You know, that's what happened in Philippians. Paul said, I thank God for every remembrance of you. Even though he was in prison, he could still pray. People are tired. Elongated trials. You know, a friend that's going through a hard time and they've been going through it for quite a long time? Don't neglect them. Pray for them. If they have a need in their life and you are such where you can help meet that need, get involved and meet that need. Let me tell you why. Last verse right here, 2 Timothy 4:18. This man that had this unique gift, this man that used that unique gift often, this man that sought him out, found him wherever he was, Paul was assured that one day when he stood before the Lord, he would be rewarded for this. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. We don't know what all this man did for Paul's ministry and for his life. But Paul felt assured that there would be a reward waiting on him one day simply because he encouraged. You know, the power of life and death is in the tongue, the Bible says. And I really do believe that We can either be encouragers or discouragers, sometimes discouragers inadvertently. But God, help us to see the value of encouragement. To look around, we're all members one of another, the Bible says. And we all have value, we all have gifts, and then we all have the grace to minister that gift. May God make us prophet bearers, more like Onesiphorus. And if a brother or sister you know has gotten in a bad way and for whatever reason their life is marked by some chain, don't be afraid to roll your sleeves up and put your arms around them and love on them anyway, because they need it, and God does that for us when we need it. Let's pray. Father, help me, Lord, not to just speak these words, but to live them. Help me to be a better encourager of other people. Lord, give me the strength and give me the grace to minister in such a way, Lord, where I'm not ashamed to call that person alongside and show them that kind of love and that kind of encouragement, Lord, to help them on their way. There are people here tonight, Lord. They may never admit it because it's not easy to admit sometimes. But Lord, they're sitting here tonight. They would love to be encouraged. Perhaps, Lord, they're discouraged, not feeling like they're accomplishing a whole lot. Lord, I pray, God, that you would raise up among us men and women that had the kind of love and concern and care for one another, that we would use that unique gift to be a blessing to someone today. In Christ's name, amen.